Today is April 10th, and I'm here with Paula Martesian to discuss Gordon Pierce. This is an interview with Paula Martesian. Martesian is an active painter in Providence who has a 20-year history of involvement with the local arts community. She was the editor of Quick's Art Quarterly, an arts journal published in the 1990s. Currently, she's co-founder and co-president of Gallery Night Providence and exhibition curator for the Bank Rhode Island Galleries. Martesian became a good friend of Gordon Pierce and spent much time with him the last 15 years of his life. An exhibition of Gordon Pierce paintings from the 1930s to the 1980s is on view at Brooke Gallery until the end of June. A slideshow of the exhibit is posted on the website, www.burkegallery.com. Welcome to Paula. And what I wanted to do is, because Paula had known Gordon, it might be nice to get some insight on what he was like, since I have never met him. Paula, you were a student majoring in painting at RISD in the 1970s and did not actually have Gordon Pierce as an instructor. When did you meet Gordon, and what was your first impression?
He had retired a few years before I became a student. And I would see him on occasion. He would drop in to the classes for the artists in residence to give crits, but I never had a crit from him. So my first introduction to him was one evening. He invited sophomore classes over to his house, and we would all troop in, about 20 of us, and look at the house and look at the paintings. And he would tell us a little bit about his wife, Florence Leaf, and himself, and the history that he had here. And that was my very first impression of Gordon. The house was a modern home. It was very monochromatic, and the paintings were pretty much floor to ceiling, in the studio, in the hallways, in the living room. And it was pretty amazing to see a lifetime's worth of work up in a place.
So how old was he about that time?
I was 19. I know how old I was. He must have been in his early 70s.
Early 70s.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Late 60s, maybe. And then I had advertised, I was looking for part-time work to support my living expenses. And he advertised for a painting student to come help him around the house and garden. And I called him and began to do that, work in the garden and work in the house for him once a week.
So you kind of checked him out first by coming and making sure that you could work for him in the future.
They weren't really related.
Okay.
You know, I didn't really realize I was working somewhere else at the time. And it just came up a little bit later. And I had seen the house and seen the garden and thought I could do that. Actually, I think it was once every 2 weeks.
Okay. What was Gordon's reputation as a painter and a teacher at RISD?
He was very well respected. Definitely all the teachers there really looked up to him. But he was also a bit feared, I think. He was known for a fierce temper and a very strong passion for what he did. And I think there were lots of layers of how people perceived him. He was always quite easygoing with me in his own way. Mm-hmm. So I think I had a very different... from what I heard, it was a very tumultuous time at RISD. There was a real break from tradition and how you... When Gordon was there, when painting had been taught a certain way for many years. And he was of the school of John R. Fraser. He was his protege for many years, mm-hmm. and thought of him as a second father, or maybe even a first father, for all I know. And abstract expressionism had taken over the country. And his kind of work and what he did and what he valued was starting to be looked down upon. And I think he had a very difficult time. He had a difficult time with some of the students coming in looking for and this is, again, this is my impression of what happened, even though I wasn't actually there. He had a difficult time. And he'd also had some heart conditions and some heart problems. And his wife had been sick. So I'd say the last 10 years of his teaching now were difficult times for him.
Yeah. Because he had started in like the 1940s. I mean, I think he was like in the 40s, and then he went away to the war for a little while and then came back. So he had a very long history with RISD and saw the evolution of that institution.
I mean, when he started, they didn't even give degrees.
Yeah. In fact, I noticed when we were working on the chronology that he comes back after the war, and I think in 1947 he comes back and gets a BA to finish that off. Right. So it was like an associate's degree of some sort there, but he finishes that at a later point.
Yeah, I don't think RISD was accredited in that way at the time when it first started and he was there. And I think in the war he did camouflage painting. He was with a camouflage unit.
Right.
He painted even during the war.
Yeah. Yeah, they took advantage of his artistic skills.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. At RISD, you majored in painting.
I did.
What did you like about Gordon's painting?
I saw it first in a faculty show. They had a faculty show every biennial, every couple of years. And the luminosity, the color, the thick approach to the paint were seductive and drew me.
Yeah. Was there anything you didn't like about his work?
It could be tight. You know, some of the pieces could be tight. It wasn't always tight, but it could be tight. I think a lot of painters try to control things sometimes. It's always a balance between guiding a painting and controlling a painting. Mm-hmm. You can feel it as a viewer.
But. And when you saw his work at the house, I mean, so you saw his work at the RISD faculty show, but clearly he had been painting and evolving over time. Mm-hmm. Was there a difference between the work that you saw at the faculty show versus the early work that you had seen at the house?
Most of the work that we saw at the house was his wife's, Florence. She had died in the 60s, 68, I believe. Mm-hmm. And when I came along, it was 1973. So she had only been dead about 5 years, and he kind of turned the house into a Florence Leaf Museum.
Okay.
So most of the work that we saw was Florence at that time.
Okay.
There were a few of his pieces up, but I can't say that I remember those.
Okay. Many who know Gordon talk about his love of Cezanne's work. Did he talk to you about the artists much, or how perhaps Cezanne influenced his later work?
He had a funny story that I remember that's sort of related to this. He was good friends with John Fraser, and more than friends. They had a lifetime commitment of being co-painters and co-educators. And John was not interested in Cezanne's work. And he said when he first got excited about Cezanne's work, he really wanted to show John this excitement and this passion that he felt for this painter's work. And as far as he was concerned, John Fraser was concerned, there was nothing to it. You know, what was this work? It was too different, too odd. And Gordon had a kind of a glass that was a prism. Mm-hmm. And when you look through it, it would break up the view into little planes, similar to how Cezanne used his brush strokes. And he at one point gave it to Fraser, and he said he never saw it again. John just took it from him, and he said, but he was certain that it had influenced John and how he painted, and how he saw Cezanne as well.
Uh-huh. So
he was in love with Cezanne. He just thought, and I think a lot of painters are. He was the culmination of what painting could be.
Now, were there any other painters besides Cezanne that he talked to about?
We actually went to several shows together. So we saw a lot of paintings together. He loved Turner. He absolutely thought Turner was a gorgeous painter. We went to the Yale, the British Center when it opened up at Yale.
Yeah.
We saw that within a few weeks of its opening. We went down there. We had a lively discussion in front of the Salvador Dali. So I think he thought as a kid and a student, and students in general were narrow-minded. You know, they had an idea that painting could only be one thing, whereas his view of it was painting was many, many, many things, mm-hmm. many, many viewpoints in the world. So he was pretty well-rounded in what he appreciated and what he loved.
Mm-hmm. But not necessarily did he adapt it in terms of everything that he did, in terms of
evolving.
No, but
if you look at the general history of his painting, he certainly embraced many styles.
Yeah, I think. Right. And was influenced by them.
Yeah.
What, in later years, did Gordon ever reflect about his choice to become a painter? Was he happy with his career choice? Did he feel it was a choice?
He was bitter about some things, but more about how history had just changed in the middle of what he was doing than his own choice about it. I think painting was his life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he was a dedicated educator, and he started the European Honors Program over at RISD and led that for many years in the beginning. So he traveled widely. He saw many different kinds of painting. He loved painting. I think it was I think it was his blood that ran through his veins. He mm-hmm. really, that was his ruling passion.
Yeah. And he married a painter.
He married a painter.
And they painted
together.
Constantly.
Yeah.
It seems like there was it seems that if you were a painting instructor at that time, there was a little bit more of a natural rhythm where you would have your summers off to mm-hmm. dedicate to your own personal painting, and then
yeah.
you would be able to prepare. And from some of the chronology and data that the scrapbooks actually that he had, it looks like he and Florence spent a lot of time mm-hmm. either traveling in the summer to paint and dedicated a tremendous amount of time to painting.
Well, every summer, I think in the winter, he had two different threads to his painting. One was he liked to paint in front of a subject, whether it was a still life or outside in the landscape, and he would try to do that in the summers mm-hmm. so that he was painting from life.
Mm-hmm.
But in the winters, he kept some studio pieces going yeah. all the time. And I don't know if that was something that evolved from just his schedule at RISD, or it was in the earlier thing that he adopted. But he always believed that you really needed to refresh your eye
mm-hmm.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, the best thing to do is to look at nature. Because mm-hmm. if you start making things up all the time, you're going to keep coming up with the same solutions. And he always wanted to challenge himself.
That's interesting. Wow.
And I think for the most part, he did that.
Yeah. What was Gordon's favorite color, would you say?
I don't really know what his favorite color was. The house was pretty beige. Yellow and orange were the accent colors in the house.
Yeah. Did he have any specific ideas about what types of brushes? I mean, he seems like he had a very structured approach to his painting. Were there certain rituals that he followed that you ever observed, or in comparison to, let's say, how you paint? Or
actually, no. I thought he wasn't very rigid to me when he painted. He often set up a ground on his paintings, which I never do. So he would have a color field in place
mm-hmm.
already to work the painting into. He would do that, and that was something that took him a fair amount of time to do. Brushes, mm-hmm. just kind of normal range of different brushes that he mm-hmm. would have. He didn't actually paint. He used a knife a lot, palette knife, mm-hmm. on his bigger pieces. Not necessarily on his smaller ones, but on his bigger pieces. He tried a lot of different things.
It's interesting because from looking at other artists, like I know that Stephen Macomber was on faculty with mm-hmm. Gordon and taught Freshman Foundation. And when I was visiting Stephen Macomber, he had his same set of brushes. He had a very specific, method. So it's, and yet I wouldn't say that at times that I would have guessed that from Macomber's work, the finished product. Mm-hmm. But given the structure of Gordon's, you might have thought he had a certain ritual. But
Gordon's painting was driven by his mind. It wasn't driven by routine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I said something. We would talk a lot. He never taught me, you know.
Yeah.
He never critiqued. He would critique a general concept versus specific painting. So we would talk about painting a lot. I would bring paintings over, or he would come over, we'd go to a museum and we would talk. And it was something that I've never really done with anyone else since or before that. And I think we both valued that. And I, at one point, had said something like, I spend a lot of time thinking about what I'm going to do. And days later, he came back to me and said, you know, that was really... I do that, you know, and I can't remember the exact words, but he was impressed that even at an early age I was doing that, and mm-hmm. that was important to me. It wasn't just the physical act of making a painting. I wasn't making a painting. I was thinking about it. I was drawing it out. I was trying to figure it out, and that's kind of the way he painted as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure he knew that until I'd said that. I mean, that came up in a conversation.
But Florence, who he painted a lot with, his wife, seems also to have had a little bit of a looser style, seemed more spontaneous. Is that the case? Did that affect his painting in terms of...
She painted all the time. She painted pretty constantly. And I always thought, although he never said this, that he might be a little bit jealous of the fact that she had all this time to paint. He didn't. So she painted in a boat, she painted on the shore, she painted in the studio. And I really don't know how loose or how but she was very disciplined about painting, period.
Yeah.
You know, she was always painting.
Yeah.
I once said, the only indication I have about how she painted was once I said you could tell how far she stood back from a painting by looking at it, because you could see at what point the painting came into focus.
Mm-hmm.
And he started laughing at her. He said she sat on a chair 2 inches away from the painting and worked it.
Wow.
He said she did not do what you just said. She painted close up and right there.
Uh-huh.
So that's the only indication I have of how she
painted. How she painted.
Yeah. So I don't really know how. But I have a feeling she was a little tighter than we might have thought. And he might have been a little looser than we might think, just mm-hmm. by what the results were from the canvases.
Okay. So that you really have to try to research, even if you see a physical canvas, you have to really question sometimes
yeah.
the process.
Well, I know that people tell me mine looks very loose. Yeah. And I agonize over each inch of that canvas. And it's not loose by any stretch of the imagination is it loose.
Was Gordon vocal about any other artists that he did not like their painting? I mean, you mentioned the abstract expressionist, that really kind of development in the art world really shook his
right.
painting style, his position in terms of...
He was very open. I don't think he didn't like the abstract expressionist. Mm-hmm. He was more upset that someone didn't like his work or didn't value his work because it wasn't like that,
right.
which I think is a difference from just not liking it. No, he was. In fact, there was an artist that he knew that I met who was one of his students that was routinely ridiculed at RISD that he took under his wing,
mm-hmm.
And because he felt that there was something worthwhile there and that he should be encouraged. So no, I always got the feeling that he was very encouraging.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard differently from different artists. Yeah. But.
Well, it was. I heard a very funny story from Robert Thornton, and he had talked about studying with Gordon and that it was very difficult for him to paint with 20 other people, and that Gordon would set up a still life, and Gordon did not really want you to use your imagination, that at that point mm-hmm. of he felt that you should be rendering what you see. And many years later, when Bob Thornton was in a faculty show, Gordon called him up and said, "Oh, my Lord, I didn't realize you were going to be such a good painter." He said, "I don't remember you as a remarkable student." So I thought that was a very interesting indication that he certainly always re-looked. He didn't seem to be prejudicial. So maybe that was it in some ways.
I think he mellowed too. I think okay. being away from RISD, he relaxed a little. Yeah. You know? He really was very, very serious about his job. And he couldn't stand students who weren't serious, mm-hmm. you know. And my experience of Gordon is so far afield from all the experiences I've heard about him from different students that he's had over the years.
Interesting. What do you think is the best attribute of Gordon as a friend?
Oh, he was very important to me. He, there aren't many, even among other painters, there aren't many people I can talk to about what I do. My level of painting is far different, far, just it's on a different plane than a lot of the work that I see today. And I think a lot of people have lost some connection to what real painting is. Or they misconstrue it. And the talks that we had and the sharing of those things were very important to me and very special to me. And when it was clear that he was very sick and we were talking about it, I said, I don't know how I'm going to handle not having you to talk to. He said, you know all these things. You'll be fine. Yeah. And I've never had that with anyone.
So that it was, you were kind of a kindred spirit in terms of your thinking about painting and discussing it. Yet, it seems like at the same time, it was more philosophical in approach, not necessarily like...
There was no technical.
You should be using green instead of red or something like that.
No, exactly. We never did that. That was not our relationship at all. Okay. It was all philosophical. Okay. And it was special to both of us. Uh-huh. He thought I was funny because I wouldn't listen to anybody. He just thought I was. He never really come across someone who just literally would smile at you and say yes, yes, and then just go about and do whatever. And that's just me, you know, that's what I would do. I wouldn't fight with him. Yeah. And I think, you know, he was Scottish descent. He had a good, strong temper. And I was used to strong individuals, you know, you let them have their say and you go and you do whatever you want to do. And he just thought that that was hilarious. Yeah. That was a very odd way to conduct yourself.
You
know? Right. So it's kind of hilarious. But in painting, you know, we came together.
Right. Is there anything else that you want to mention?
He was extremely generous to some people. It wasn't just me. He helped. He always bought people's paintings, young painters coming up. He made a real effort to support people, painters. He really did. He set up 2 scholarships at RISD, one in his name and one in his wife's name. He had a lot of kind of thorny, prickly sides, but in essence, you know, painting was just the world to him.
Yeah.
And anyone who walked into that world, he was willing to help. Now, it didn't always work out that way. Mm-hmm. But of the painters I've met that have been his friends, he kept them, you know, right through the years. And he was able to relate to people on different levels and different ages. He was able to relate to different painters, whatever their style, whatever they used. There was no... tried and true way to do something. Everything was an experiment. You know, I mean, he didn't seem like that because he was kind of tight about things, but He was very broad-minded, I think, in many ways about painting.
Well, actually, in researching him, it seems that he was an incredible advocate for some of his peers after they died, like John Frazier being involved with helping to organize exhibits and preserving his legacy, Stephen Machomer, and then, again, reviewing his collection, all the other paintings that he purchased and kept. And they aren't from just a certain time period. They span many, many years.
I mean, he was not a rich man by any stretch of the imagination, but he always bought painting. Always bought young and upcoming painters. He bought two of mine.
That's great.
When I was young.
That's great.
I know he bought several others. You know, he's always, he put his mouth, you know, he put his, he did what he needed to do and he felt he needed to do. I mean, I've heard other stories, you know, people who didn't like him as a teacher. I never had him as a teacher. We had a really different relationship.
Well, as you mentioned, he seemed to take his role as a teacher very seriously and professionally. And it might have been a very different experience because he had graduated and perhaps he could be more open-minded. He didn't feel like he had to be teaching you. He just could deal with you as an individual painter.
He had several pages, several, maybe even hundreds of pages of writings on teaching and how to teach and how to best teach and what you should be teaching. I mean, he constantly evolved his thought process on teaching, and he wrote it down and he tried to pass it on. And for a long time, I think there's only one teacher now who that had him as a teacher, and that's David Frazier. No relation to John Frazier. For a long time, all that painting department were people who had been his students. And there was this legacy. And you could see it. It was very visible. And it wasn't like the styles were the same, but there was a real concept about painting that was very strong.
Well, thank you so much for giving us some insight into Gordon, and we hope that you come down to see the show and actually see the real work.